You're listening to episode 337 of Women Worldwide. Have you ever heard the familiar saying, fake it until you make it? Well, why would you want to? Wouldn't you just rather make it and not fake it? My guest today has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for being here, for tuning in, for showing up, for always sharing the episodes with our amazing guests. And it's a new week. Yes, that means we have another very interesting journey and someone who has plenty of good advice to share with you. So I want to get right to it. The topic is that familiar saying. I'm sure you've heard it, whether it's in your business or your life, fake it until you make it. Have you heard that saying? Well, think about it. Think about fake it. If you fake it, how do you possibly show your authenticity? If you're faking it, how do you show your pride and your passion or your integrity? Well, this is the perfect segue to my special guest today. Joining me on the show is Sabrina Horn. And Sabrina is an award-winning communications expert. She is a C-suite advisor, and she is the author of a new book that I am reading and loving. It's called Make It, Don't Fake It, Leading with Authenticity for Real Business Success. Now, Sabrina spent 25 years as the founder and CEO of an iconic tech communications firm, the Horn Group, where she was working with many, many CEOs on their business and marketing challenges. In 2015, she sold her firm to Finn Partners. And today she's still working with C-Level, helping them because she has a bespoke consulting firm called Horn Strategy. Well, I could go on and on about Sabrina, but I think it's time she joins the conversation. Sabrina, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you so much for having me, Deirdre. It's great to be here today and talking with all of you and talking about some really important topics.
You bet. And Sabrina, I have so many questions to ask you, but I would like to start when I lined you up as that CEO and founder of Horn Group. You were 29 years old when you launched your company in Silicon Valley. What made you want to launch that company and become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great place to start. I think the first part that I have to mention is that my parents were both entrepreneurs. They're German immigrants. And I just was infused with the notion that you have to control your own destiny in life, that there's no free lunch, and that you make your own luck. And so it was just instilled in me that this is something that's important to strive to accomplish. And at the ripe old age of 29, I knew enough to be dangerous. I knew how to do public relations. I had 4 years of job experience. I mean, but I had no leadership or management training really to speak of. So I thought, you know, I can try my hand at this. And my aspirations were, you know, pretty reasonable, just to maybe have a couple people working with me, a couple freelancers and a couple clients, and go home and work out every night and make dinner. So, but you know, I also was really inspired by the entrepreneurial spirit in Silicon Valley, in the Bay Area where I was living. And I saw a wave of technology coming down the road that I felt was really exciting and was based on the PC revolution. Like I'm really dating myself now, but you know, I felt like that needed a different kind of PR to bring that technology to life. And I also wanted to do public relations in kind of a different way that was more strategic and holistic rather than just pure publicity. So that kind of brought me to wanting to take the plunge.
Absolutely. And what a plunge it was. As I read your book, I love that you were inspired and that you and what you said about making PR strategic. That is just music to my ears and makes my heart sing, because a lot of the time people see PR as publicity. When you started out, Sabrina, because you did say you had 4 years with experience, probably working for somebody else, and then you launched your company, what skills did you feel you had? But then all of a sudden you were launching this company and pitching. What skills did you have to learn very quickly?
Yeah. Well, you know, that saying, be careful what you ask for, right? I mean, I knew how to launch a company and to run a good communications program for startup. But I had no business experience. I didn't have an MBA. I didn't. My father always said, you know, you can't balance your own checkbook. And, you know, it was kind of true at the time. And so I very quickly had to learn how to run the books and, you know, use a little program called Quicken to do the accounting. And I, as soon as I had more than 3 or 4 employees, I had to kind of step up my game and get HR policies and benefits for people so that they would be motivated to come and to stay with my company. All the aspects of running a business, I really had no training in. And a lot of it I learned through common sense, by thinking through things, but also by speaking with other people and making sure that I, you know, like I'm not going down the wrong path here and doing something that I'm going to regret later.
Absolutely. I mean, your network is so important, to have those people around you that you can trust. And I did get my MBA, but I still found out that when you own an agency or you own any business, no matter what you learn or where you learn it, it's still you're learning as you go. Yes. And that was my experience too. Let's talk about your book, because I'm sure as you were writing it and reminiscing, you're still learning about yourself. We never stop learning. And that's why make it, don't fake it is so important, because that term of fake it until you make it, that's not just something at the beginning of your career. I think you have all these moments, as stated in your book so many times, that you have a choice to make. You could go the fake it route, but you could pivot to make it. So talk a little bit about your book and what are some of the big takeaways or things that you wanted readers to know?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I wanted to use the mistakes that I made, right, as a young CEO with very little business management experience. And what I also saw in Silicon Valley, which was a lot of fakery too, right? And I had to counsel our clients on how not to fake it, because, you know, their stories had to hold water with the press and with the analysts. And so over time, I accumulated this body of work. And finally, after selling my business and, you know, starting up this new practice, I thought, you know, there in the last 5 to 10 years, a lot of people have forgotten about the fact that integrity matters. And this mantra of fake it till you make it, like, I'm sorry, I think it's the worst business advice ever. It's literally telling you that it's okay to lie or exaggerate the truth or distort the facts mm-hmm. in order to achieve success. And the problem is that what it originally started out as something kind of innocent. It was like a tongue-in-cheek quip where, you know, you're acting as if you're trying right. to be confident, or you're power posing, which was something that Amy Cuddy came up with. Right. That's all cool. That's all good. Mm-hmm. But you cross the line when you do and say things to other people at the expense of others for personal gain. And right. there's the intent to deceive. Yeah. That's the difference. And I'm afraid that, you know, integrity should not be a choice, an option, and a multiple choice question, right? So it's almost like faking it is like air. We do it so much we don't even think about it. And so I really wanted to put a pin in that mm-hmm. and write a book with tools and techniques and ideas and actionable strategies that entrepreneurs, or really anybody who is or wants to be in a position of leadership, right? Like, to conduct themselves with integrity, because that is the only way that you can build a business for long-term success.
Absolutely. You have a fake-o-meter.
Yes.
And I think many women worldwide listeners and viewers check out the fake-o-meter, because it gives you points of you're really crossing the line. Okay, now this is criminal, right? Yeah. How did you come up with your fake-o-meter? Was that just stepping back, saying, look at all the things that happened, and this is the different ways that anyone could go?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You nailed it. Like, I was thinking about like all the different ways that people fake it. Mm-hmm. And I put it into buckets and then put it on a continuum from innocent to like jail time. And so, you know, from acting as if, which is innocent, to crossing the line and exaggerating the truth about what your product can do to an investor, right? Or overpromising what your technology can do to win a customer or to get the sale, lying on your resume. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all qualifies as faking it, to then minimizing reality, downplaying the truth of what really happened, selective truth telling, which is very dangerous. It's where you're actually telling the truth, but leaving out certain facts.
Yeah, I was going to say omission of certain facts. Omission.
Sometimes you're not lying. You're just sticking your head in the sand because you're so overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. And you just hope it will all just go away.
Right.
That's faking it too. And then, you know, off the charts is, you know, what we're hearing about right now with Elizabeth Holmes and like just total outright fraud and
deception. Yes. Theranos. Do you think that the higher the stakes and the pressure that the executive is under, the more likely they will ratchet up towards the worst part of the fake-o-meter? Is it that pressure that does it, that stress, that overwhelm?
I think, you know, there are certain people in this world who are skilled, seasoned executives who exhibit grace under pressure and don't succumb, you know, to that. And they have plenty of advisors and mentors and a board of directors, you know, who will help them navigate those situations. But it it can affect anybody. You know, it can affect our kids who are just starting off in their careers, and there's mm-hmm. peer pressure and they think that they're not good enough, so they have to lie, or, you know, to get the job, or impress their first date, you know, to people who, you know, are in middle management and they want to move up and, you know, are dealing with imposter syndrome, for example. So, you know, it can affect anybody, whether that's at work or even in our personal lives.
Right. Do you have an aha moment that stuck with you, or maybe it was an uh-oh moment, a big learning moment that really has guided you? I mean, there were several moments in the book, Is there one that you want to share?
Yeah, there's one. There are several. but there was one that really struck me and made me sort of sit down with myself. And that was after the recession of 2008 and 2009. And, you know, cash was lean and we needed to win a couple of big pieces of business. And we were presented with an opportunity to win basically like a $750,000 account. It was huge for us at that time. And it was everything that you could think of in marketing, PR, social media, website, blah, 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 everything. And I led that pitch because, you know, I needed to bring home the bacon. And I exaggerated what we could do. I promised them things that I was like, okay, I'm going to pull that out of thin air.
Pull that out of air.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you get us the Wall Street Journal?
Sure.
No problem.
And front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. And, you know, and I thought like, you know, I'll just figure it out. Right. I'll figure it out. And how many times have all of us sort of put it out there thinking like, we'll figure it out on the back end, you know, we'll just figure it out. But I was so way out over my skis. And, you know, if I'm really honest, right, I lied about what we could do. I did not have those capabilities internally. I could probably find them, but it would take a really long time to bring them up to speed. And so ultimately what happened was we were behind the eight ball as soon as we started. We made some stupid mistakes along the way. We didn't have the resources. We were constrained and we basically lost every piece of that account until we lost it all, along with a part of our reputation and our pride. And, you know, we hurt that client because we set them back by 3 months by not delivering, and they had to start over again, right? With another, right? And we set ourselves back because I just had to go out and find that business, you know, all over again. And my team was exhausted. So that's was a poignant example for me of why faking it is really dangerous. Faking it does not help you make it. It helps you fail. And we would have been so much better off if we had just been honest and said, here's what we can do.
Right.
And here's what we'd love to also do for you, but we're going to need to find those resources and, you know, and here's the time frame in which we can do that. And if that doesn't work for you, then, you know, then we understand, and they would have remembered that we were at least honest with them.
Absolutely. There's something else in the book that I really like. You talk about, and this is with a different story, if you don't mind me sharing it, the IBM story, where the postmortem is so important. And sometimes when you're in the thick of things and you just have to keep going, you don't always do that postmortem. What I appreciated about the story about IBM was how honest and real and raw you shared that made me cry this morning as I was getting ready and already had my makeup done. So I'm letting everybody know I'm being vulnerable here. This story, and Sabrina probably would tell it better, but you were up for a big pitch, IBM, and it would have changed your business. It was back at a time when you were using overheads. And I remember the overhead projector. And you showed up like you were supposed to, and they put you in this lousy little conference room, and you had to project against an area of the wall that distorted your beautiful slides. And you know, I'm reading this, and I'm feeling for you, Sabrina, but it was at the point that executive came in late and really was just, where's the big idea and what are you going to do for me or whatever he said, at which time you broke down and started to cry. And, you know, your slides were basically running the ink on them. And that was so powerful because I remember moments of just wanting to burst out with tears. I definitely had tears, So I wanted to share that because it was after that you said, that's when you step back and say, what could we have done? How could that have been different? Maybe we would have said to that executive, maybe now isn't the time for this meeting. Let's reschedule. I thought that that was such a powerful story and I appreciated it so much.
Well, thank you.
I told it in the right way.
Yes, you absolutely did. I mean, I was also coming off of another business trip and was utterly exhausted and was so rattled by this guy that I didn't have the presence of mind to stop him and just say, look, I just don't think like this is going really well. And maybe we should come back another time and share our ideas with you. He also was not being very pleasant and came in late. And you know, how many times have we all been in a situation like that? And, you know, I don't think that we ever would have won that account, but at least I could have preserved our dignity and felt good about, you know, how we exited that, that situation. But to your point earlier about postmortems, like, they are so, so, so important, not just when you've failed, but also when you've done something really well. And the key to making them effective is putting into actual practice the things that you've learned from them and how you're going to change a certain process to not make that mistake the next time. And literally like document that and assign it to people so that there's ownership of it. Otherwise, it's just a nice little conversation for everybody to feel badly about themselves. Right. So, you know, so I really, and the key to them too, as a leader, is that you have to participate in them and be humble about what you could have done better. Even if you weren't there, what could your company do to help your team be more successful? So it's not an exercise of finger pointing and who did what wrong and you
right.
know, we're going to nail him in his next performance review, right? Like that's not the point, right? So it's really important for the leader to exercise humility and share in the learning process there.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That is great advice to everybody who is watching and or listening. And speaking of advice, I can't even believe we're at the advice part of the show. Even all of this has been excellent advice. Sabrina, maybe you can just round it all out for everyone. How can people move forward so that they can have those make it moments and leave all the fake it behind?
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing that we haven't talked about here, which we've been living with in the last really 2 years, is a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And fear can be very paralyzing. And as a leader, we have to deal with, right, the unknowns all the time, the unknown, the uncertainty. And we have to lead by example and provide a path forward. It's that fear, it's that anxiety of the unknown that and being overwhelmed by it that can cause a person to just succumb under pressure to faking it. And so one of the big points I want to share here is you have to lead with integrity. You have to be grounded in reality and face the harsh truth sometimes. That's why running a business with integrity is so hard and faking it is easier. Mm-hmm. So you have to disarm the fear and organize the risk. You have to look it in the face. You have to peel back the onion and say, what about this picture is missing, right? And who do I need to talk to get some more information? And what I talk about as well is contingency planning on steroids, like, there, you need to have a plan seemingly for what can go wrong almost every week, you know, like yes. Forget about having an annual plan. It's all about like getting to next week sometimes.
Right. You're so much more agile.
Yes. And so, you know, there's also this concept that I have of organizing risk. Put your risks into buckets and ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? right? And then how would you recover from that? And somehow, right, through this process that I write about in the book and some other mental maps, you can find like a path that goes down the middle, and you have the confidence and the resilience to lead, not just with your game face, but like with real confidence, right? That you can get through this and get to the other side.
Excellent advice. Disarm your fear, organize your risk. There is so much in your book, Sabrina. I hope everybody picks up a copy. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you, information about your company, and of course, Sabrina's book.
My book, yes, thank you. So you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, Sabrina Horn. My website is sabrinahorn.com, pretty simple. And there's a page there called sabrinahorn.com/book, where you can find links to any online retailer that is selling it. You know, our friends over at Amazon would be happy to sell you a copy too. You can find it there. You know, I'm also on Twitter. So, and if any of you would like to get in touch with me, you can just email me very simply, sabrina@sabrinahorn.com.
You are easy to find, Sabrina. Thank you so much for sharing. First of all, thank you for writing the book. I love it. And just for being on the show and sharing all of your advice and insights. Just appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I hope everybody got a little something out of it. And thanks so much. Thank you, Deirdre.
You're welcome. Okay, friends. Well, you know what I always say, keep the feedback coming, the conversations going. And until we see you again, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered.